Good evening. Indeed, a great joy to have you back tonight and to have some of you here for the very first time this weekend. And it's just a joy to come together. And what a beautiful day we've enjoyed, and just to be able to kind of top that off. You know, when I'm a dessert lover, and most of my desserts that I really like, I like a little icing on top of the cake, you know. And to me, just being able to come together tonight and be able to worship is just kind of that icing on a cake of a beautiful day, that we've been able to relax and perhaps just to enjoy the part of God's wonderful creation. And to be able to come together tonight as brothers and sisters in Christ, and to spend some time in fellowship and talk to our God in prayer, and to be able to study from the most important book in all the world, the Bible, and that's the book for me. And it is a glorious book. It tells us about a wonderful Father, a great God, and a God that just wants to guide us and lead us and love us, that one day we can have heaven as our eternal home. We're just grateful for your presence tonight, and hope that maybe tomorrow you can come back and visit with us. If not in the morning, then maybe tomorrow evening, just to be able to close out the meeting and in fellowship to God and the study of His Word. What we're talking about this week is just trying to have happier homes. You know, we talked about on Thursday night, we talked about just some principles of building marvelous marriages. And just some principles found in Genesis chapter 2 in verse number 24. And then last night, we talked a little bit about parenting, if we're going to have happy homes. And I believe God really desires for us to have, I believe, the blueprint. God wants us to have marvelous marriages and happy homes. And to do that, sometimes we have to do a better job parenting. And also, sometimes, to have happy homes, we've got to have children and young people in our homes that will demonstrate the attitude and the spirit that God would want them to have. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5, "Behold, children are an heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is a man who has a quiver full of them." So far we've talked about marriage, we've talked about home tonight. Young people, this one tonight is mostly for you. As has been announced in the last couple of nights, tonight we're talking about, my parents really are special. The fact that what a joy it is to be brought up in a way that will bring honor to God. And I'm sure that many of us are tempted to take things for granted. I know that I'm guilty of that sometimes as a child of God. As I look at the blessings I enjoy, and the blessings of spirituality, and the blessings of knowing a great God, and being redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, to have the blessed eternal hope of eternal life in that beautiful city called heaven, and to be reminded that the best life on this earth is a life of a child of God. That the best life on this side of the pearly streets of the glorious place called heaven is the life of a Christian. And then to think about in eternity, of being able to be with a Father, and to be with the Savior, and to be with all the faithful ones of God's wonderful service. Just to think about all the faithful saints. And sometimes, brethren, when I look at just the resources of life, I may be guilty at points in my life of taking some of those things for granted rather than just kind of stepping back, pausing at life, and realize what a blessing it is and how richly God has granted unto me the things of this life. And maybe you sometimes are guilty over the same thing. And hopefully as we grow, as we mature, maybe some of those things that we realize that are really special. And I believe one of those things, as we grow in our faith, as we mature in our life, one of those things that we just really realize is the blessing of a Christian home. And some of us sometimes, as young people, we may not take the blessing of having Christian parents to the degree that perhaps we need to. And we may begin to feel, and we may begin to think things like, you know, mom and dad, I mean, really? come on, they're out of touch with reality. I mean, you know, they still live in the dark ages, man. They just don't understand what it's like to live in this world. I mean, they're out of touch with reality. I mean, they don't know, they don't understand, they don't really have a grasp at all of what real life is today. I mean, you know, they're just kind of those old fogies. You know, they're from the dark ages. And you know, they don't understand at all about the things of life today. They don't have a clue what I'm going through. And the world is different today. And you know, my parents, man, I'm telling you, they sometimes are just so hard for me to deal with, and sometimes they just don't want me to do anything. They don't allow me to go places I want to go. And, you know, they're too strict. And you know what? They just don't really allow me to do what I want to do. I mean, they're clueless. They're clueless. They just, I mean, you know, maybe they mean well, but they just don't understand what really makes me happy. They don't really understand what I enjoy doing. They don't understand. And they really don't have a care for my needs. And, you know, there's a world of difference today in the way that they were brought up in the homes in which. So therefore, they just need to get a clue. And, I mean, after all, man, I can't wait till I get out on my own. And I can make my own choices, and I can go where I want to and when I want to, and I can call the shots of my life, and I can be my own person. I can't wait to do that. Now, that may sound familiar to some of us. And if it does, join the club. I've been there. I can remember having some of those thoughts and some of those feelings. You know, that when I was brought up and in my home, you know, there was times where I wanted to do certain things. My mom just said, no. My dad said, no, you're not doing that. You don't need to be doing that. You don't need to be hanging out with those people. You don't need to be going over there. And no, you're not going to that particular place. And sometimes I was going, oh, man, come on, Dad. Don't be so strict, man. I mean, cut the rope a little bit. Give me a little slack. I mean, you know how much fun that would be. And I mean, and if I don't get to go, you know what? Some of my friends will think I'm going to be, that I'm weird, and that I can't have any fun, and you just won't allow me to go to the... See, I can remember having some of those feelings. And the truth is, you may be being brought up with some parents that at one time in their life, they may have had some of those same thoughts, experienced some of those same feelings that perhaps you're going through now. So what I've decided is growing up as young people is sometimes a tremendous test between what I call our feeler and our thinker. Our feeler being our heart and our thinker being our head. That it's really a test between my heart and my head. My heart says, because of the emotions, because of the fun, because I want to be popular, or I want to be accepted, and I want to be a part of this group, and I want others to look to me in a certain way. See, sometimes my feelers begin to think with those type of emotions, and they begin to say, my feelings will say, well, you know, the reality is, but when I can step back and look at it through the eyes of my head, I may realize then reality is not this, it's that. That I'm not looking at it clearly. What I have found in the observation of a lot of young people and young families is a lot of relationship accidents that occur is when the emotion, when the thinker is in the driver's seat. That's when a lot of relational accidents happen. That's when there's a lot of wrecks emotionally that will occur. Now, I'm talking about literally in an automobile, but I'm talking about on the roadway of life, where there's a lot of accidents will occur, and where there will be a lot of a relationship accidents that will be taking place, is suddenly now I'm allowing my life to be driven by some emotions. emotions may be under the influence of ego or what I want or what I like, rather than the head. I have found that a lot of times, young people, emotions can take you where you did not mean to go. And emotions will leave you in a place that sometimes is not a clear path of how to get back. Not a clear path of a return trip. It's kind of like a one-way trip. It will take you out there and it'll leave you. And suddenly it's not real clear how to get back. See, if you think that is strange, look at a young man in the book of Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 14, there's a story told that we're all familiar with. It's the story of the parable of the lost son. We call it the parable of the prodigal son. He said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So the father divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeyed into a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with wasteful living. I mean, here's a father. Two sons. And the one day that this young son comes to him and he says, you know what, Dad? One of these days you're going to kick the bucket. But I don't want to wait that long to get what's mine. I mean, understand, Dad, that when you pass away and when you're gone, I'm going to get a part of this inheritance that you own. It's going to be mine. But you know what, Dad? I don't want to wait till then. I want mine now. And what I want you to do, Dad, I will tell you what I want, Father. I want you to divide up this portion between me and my brother, and because I'm going to do what I want to do, and I want to go where I want to go, I can't wait to get in control of my life. I can't wait, God, that I'm going to make the decisions I want to make, and I'm going to go where I want to go, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and God, I tell you what, Father, go ahead and give it mine now. I believe what we have in Luke 15 is a young man working off of his feeler, not his thinker. It's all about him. When you read this parable, that was unheard of for what this young man has done. It was totally disrespectful to his father to make such a request. He wasn't showing any type of love, wasn't showing any type of compassion toward his father. It was all about him. It's all about what he wanted. It was all about my life. It's what I want to do, when I want to do it. I can't wait to be able to make the choices and the decisions that I want to make. So he said in verse 12, I tell you what, Father, you just give me what will fall to me and I'll get out of here. I'll leave you alone. So, not many days after, he gathered it all together and journeyed to a far country and wasted it with wasteful living. You may be reading translation that says riotous living, not righteous living, riotous. And you say, well, what did he do? I don't know. All the Word of God says is he wasted it on riotous, wicked, wasteful living. In other words, now he's living his life the way he wants to. With his emotions, with his feeler instead of his thinker. With his heart rather than his head. With his emotions rather than his intellect. And the Word of God says, in verse 14, but when he had spent all, there was a severe famine in that land, and all of a sudden he began to be in want. He began to be in want. You see what I find here? His emotions and his feeler has taken him to a point, left him out there without a clear path of how to come back. And what I see in that is that there's a valuable lesson. Young people, if we want to live a life that would honor the Father and be what God would have us to do, that will allow us to have an eternal life, then we want to make sure that when we grab hold of the steering wheel of my life, God being the pilot, that I want to do that with my thinker in my head. You know, a lot of times we see these signs or these bumper stickers or something that will say on a car, God is my co-pilot. You know what I want to say? Move over. He needs to be your pilot, not your co-pilot. You need to let him drive. You need to let him be the pilot of your life. And you ride along in obedience with him. So tonight, one of those decisions that I believe is just one that we need to make that is your parents are really special. Your parents are special. They're not perfect. They've made mistakes. They have made choices and decisions that perhaps, as it turned out, maybe it wasn't the ones they would do again. They're not perfect. They may make some mistakes in guiding and making some choices and helping you make choices of life. And maybe they've not allowed you to do some things that you wanted to do. And maybe there's times, young people, that you really seriously doubt their decisions. And you don't clearly understand of why they've said what they've said. But there's something I want you to always remember. Always remember these three things about a godly parent. Their motive will be pure. They're going to give you the very best advice that they know how to give you. Their motive is pure. Their love is real. And their investment in you is very, very, very deep. They love you with all their heart. You're part of their very being, a part of their flesh. So when you look at that in your life, their motive is pure, their love is real, and their investment in you is very, very deep. So then, how can I show that my parents are special? Three things. First of all, by obeying them. You know, in the Old Testament book of Exodus chapter 20, God gave 10 commandments on 2 tablets to Moses. And those 10 commandments was for the children of Israel to follow, to cherish, and to obey. If you'll go and look in Exodus chapter 20, the first 4 of those commands, the first 4 commands all have to do with honoring Jehovah God. Worshiping God Jehovah. That's what the first 4 is about. Honoring God. Cherishing God. Worshiping Jehovah. And then, the very next one, Exodus 20 and verse number 12. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You know tonight why I really believe that it's important for us to study about honoring parents and loving my parents and really realizing how special they are and really placing a priority on it tonight. How important is in honoring your parents? Let me just suggest this. Right behind honoring God. First 4 commandments in the Old Testament. Honor God. The very next one. Honor parents. How vital is it? How important Is it what kind of priority should it have in my life? It's right behind honoring God. It's no wonder in the New Testament then we read Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Notice something. It didn't say that you'll always like it. Didn't say you'd always agree with it. Didn't say you'd always enjoy it. But it's the right thing to do. How do you show and how do you demonstrate that your parents are special? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The word obey literally means to listen, but deeper than that. Don't stop right there. Listening with an intent, with a desire to follow. That's what the word obey really, really means. You are listening with an intent to follow. With an intent to do what has been stated. In other words, it's more than just letting it go in one ear and out the other. It's listening with a desire. So really, obey is not a bad word. Now, I'll be honest with you, sometimes it doesn't feel too good. But it's not a bad word. It's not a bad word at all. Sometimes our philosophy and our thinking may be is, I'm going to tell you, no one has the right to tell me what to do. Or this one. That just isn't fair. So what? Life sometimes, you know, from this perspective, as we step back and look at life, there may be some things sometimes, brother. And young people, that may happen when you're an adult. I mean, when you look at what's fair, there may be some things in life that may not always be fair. You got a really good chance of being on a job where not everything's going to be fair. There may be someone that gets a promotion over you and you go, how'd that happen? Why did they get the promotion instead of me? I mean, I've been with the company longer. My job performance is better. My education is better. Why did I not get that and they did? Or why did they get a... How in the world did they get a raise... And I didn't. It's not fair. You're right. So what are you going to do? You're going to allow the steering wheel of your life to be controlled by the thinker or the feeler? See, the Word of God still says, young people, obey your parents and the Lord, for it's the right thing to do. Bottom line, it's the right thing to do. And if you get with this this focus on being, well, I'm telling you what, nobody gets to tell me what to do. Nobody should have that much authority over me. Just remember something. You've just been told by someone to feel that way. That's exactly what Satan wants you to do. That's exactly what Satan wants you to do. His attitude has never been one of obedience. He's a father of all lies, John 8:44 says. So what we need to understand is, if we're allowing our focus to be on just obeying, rather than it's leading, and it's guiding, and it's directing, and it's loving. Let me just tell you something, young people. When God and your parents are concerned to obey and to listen to them, it's cool. It's cool. It's the right thing to do. And just understand, they're going to spend a lot of their time trying to instruct and to teach and help guide you about choices and consequences. And I love the poem, and I don't know what's the source of this poem, but I love some of the teaching and some of the words of it. Listen to me, young people. The poem goes like this: I gave you life, but I cannot live it for you. I can teach you things, but I cannot make you learn. I can give you directions, but I cannot always be there to lead you. I can take you to church, but I cannot make you believe. I can teach you right from wrong, but I can't always decide for you. I can buy you beautiful clothes, but I cannot make you lovely on the inside. I can offer you advice, but I cannot accept it for you. I can give you love, but I cannot force it upon you. I can teach you to be a friend, but I cannot make you a friend. I can teach you to share, but I cannot make you unselfish. I can teach you respect, but I cannot force you to show honor. I can teach you about sex, but I cannot keep you pure. I can tell you about the facts of life, but I cannot build your reputation for you. I can tell you about drinking and about drugs, but I cannot say no for you. I can tell you about the lofty goals of life, but I cannot achieve them for you. I can teach you kindness, but I cannot force you to be gracious. I can love you as a daughter, I can love you as a son, but I cannot place you in the family of God. I can pray for you, but I cannot make you walk with God. I can teach you about Jesus, but I cannot make Him your Savior. I can teach you the wisdom of obeying, but I cannot make Jesus your Lord. I can tell you and live for you how to live for eternal life, but I cannot give you eternal life. You know, young people, you need to realize that your parents are so special tonight by obeying them, because genuine faith is needed in each one of our lives, and there's going to come a point out there in your life where ultimately it's your choice. It's your choice of what you would do, the choices you will make, the life that you will live. And it's no wonder that the wise man Solomon said, Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 13, better is a poor but wise youth than an old foolish king no longer knows how to take a warning. Ecclesiastes 4:13. Psalms 119, how can a young person cleanse their way? Listen to it. By taking heed according to the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Let no one despise your youth. Be an example in word and in conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. How can I show my parents that they're really special? By obeying them. Number two, you can show your parents that they're really special by telling them. I love Proverbs 25, verse 11. Proverbs 25, verse 11, a word that is fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Now, I don't know what mental picture comes to your mind when you read that verse. A word that is fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Years ago, I saw a picture with this verse on it. And I can still see that in my mind, that mental picture of this beautiful picture that had been drawn by an artist. And literally, it was a basket of just bright red apples. And in the background was all this field. And then it was that background being silver. The brightness of those red apples just kind of jumped off that picture. And it just stood out. And it's almost like it just magnified of the brightness and of the brilliance. And then under that beautiful picture were these words. A word that is fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Beautiful, timely, needed. And that's what the wise man is hopefully trying to get us to see. And young people, tell your parents how much you appreciate them. What they do for you and how they care for you and how they provide for you. Young people, do you pray for your parents? Do you pray for your parents? Do you ever let them know you're praying for them? I love the prayer of a little Bobby. One night in his prayer, he was talking to God the Father, and he said, "Dear God, this is Bobby. My parents could really use your help. In fact, God, my parents really need your help. I am their only son, and they have their hands full." Do you tell them, young people, that you love them? Do you share with them your appreciation? That you thank them for what they really do? And you may be sitting there and saying, "They know that. They probably do." But it's okay to hear it again, isn't it, parents? It's okay to hear it again. You know, Proverbs 27 and verse 5 says, you know, better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Better is an open rebuke than a love that is hidden. Share it with them. Let them know about it. Tell them about it. And you know, it may just be me, it may just be the old hillbilly coming out of me in Tennessee, but I'm going to tell you something, folks. Our children, God has blessed us with three children, and they're 30 and 27 and 26. And we as parents, we don't get tired of hearing them say, "We love you." When we talk to them, and we basically, you know, thankfully the cell phones, and you know, we talk to them every day. Our children, maybe they're coming home from work and they may call us, and you know what? They always share, "We love you." And if we do something for them, if we do something, you know, we give them a $50 bill to go out and eat, or we write them a bad check, or you know. You know, it's not anything uncommon for us to be blessed with a thank you card, a phone call, just to say, "Thank you. We love you." You know, I'm 55 years old. I know I don't look over 65. But I'm going to tell you what, for a 55-year-old father and a 53-year-old mother, we still love to hear those precious, precious words from our children. We haven't outgrown it. Maybe we should have, but we haven't. We still love to hear those words from our children. "We love you." So I'm saying to you tonight, young people, you really want to show to your godly parents that they're special? You listen to them with an intent to follow. That's obey. And then you tell them how special they are, how much you appreciate them. You know, most of you, You wouldn't have those clothes on your back, and you wouldn't have those shoes that you're wearing, and you wouldn't have lunch and food if it wasn't for Mom and Dad working and providing for you. And you know why they do that? What we said earlier. Their motives are pure. Their love is real. And their affection for you and their interest in you is very, very deep. So therefore, you share with them that you have a love for them. Because I promise you that your parents will love to hear that. And they would appreciate it very deeply. How can I share and show my parents are special? Obey them. Tell them. And number three, by just simply helping them. Now, many of you probably have certain responsibilities around the house. You know, you may have certain chores that you're responsible for around the house. I don't know if it's helping clean up, or if it's taking out the trash, or if it's keeping your room clean, or, you know, if it's working outside with, I don't know. But I know that whatever you do in word and deed, you do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving God the Father the things. Colossians 3, verse 17. Now then, let me just talk to the young people a minute. Parents, I don't want you to listen to what we're fixing to say. This is just, what I'm fixing to say is just between me and the young people. So parents, you're not to hear this. Okay? Agreed. Young people, if you really want to do something to mess with your mother and daddy's mind, surprise them by doing something they didn't ask you to do. Okay, parents, now you can come back and listen to the rest of the sermon. Okay? Did you get that, young people? If you really want to do something and just kind of blow their mind, do something maybe in addition, or maybe something they haven't even asked. Surprise them by doing something nice that maybe is not even on your list of chores or your areas of responsibility. In other words, Luke 6 and verse 31. Do unto others as you would have them to do you. Young people, let me ask you a question. Do you ever really enjoy and like and appreciate Mom and Dad doing something a little extra for you? Most of us, be honest, we'd say, yeah, that's pretty good right there. You know? I didn't know they was going to buy me two pair of jeans. I didn't know they was going to get... Woo! You enjoy it, don't you, young people? Well, you know what? I would say that Mom and Dad might enjoy you doing a little bit extra as well. It's just a way of kindness of saying to Mom or to Dad and to my parents, you know what? You're really special and I love you and I appreciate you. Thank you. You know, it'd be all right one night after you get up from the dinner table that you could just kind of say to your mom, Mom, why don't you just go in there and sit down in the living room tonight and let me just go ahead and clean the table and do the dishes. Now, she may have a heart attack. Okay. But I promise you, you don't have to call 911. She'll come back too. She'll be all right. Okay? Just look for ways to say you're special. You're important. I love you. Thanks. You know, last night of the night, we've been just talking about trying to have happy homes. From the parents' perspective and from the young people's perspective. Let me just share with you four words from each one of those. Parents. I believe if we're going to really have happy homes, a Christian home, here's four words or four thoughts that I would share with you toward your children. Love them. Love them. Listen to them. Remember what we said last night? Parenting can be described as 90% listening and 10% talking. If you want them to talk to you when they're 14, 15, 16, 17 and struggling with things of life, you better start listening when they're 3, 4, 5, 6, and 8. I promise you, if you do not listen to them when they're younger, they're not going to talk to you when they're older. Build that. Put those stepping stones in place. Okay? So you love them, you listen to them, you lead them to Jesus, and then you let go of them. Young people, four words or concepts or thoughts for you toward your parents. Number one, you know what it is? Exactly what it is on the other side. Love them. You know what the second one is? Just like it is on the other side. Listen to them. Third one, learn from them. Don't feel like you've got to make all the mistakes yourself. Learn from them. And number four, lift them up. Encourage them. Support them. Let them know of your appreciation. And I really believe that if we can do that in our homes, as parents and as young people, as children, that if we can do those four things on each side, coming from the parents' perspective, coming from the children's perspective, I believe now that we have an environment that God will bless. That we have some things in place and some ingredients that we can bake a beautiful, beautiful home with God blessing us as we seek to do His will. You know, there's a lot of special families represented here tonight. But as precious as all of our families are, still the most important family is the family of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Having the right to become a child of God, John 1 and verse number 12. And I can't help but think, and to go back and look at that beautiful account in the book of Acts chapter number 2, when many individual families just like ours had traveled to Jerusalem to participate in Pentecost. And little did they know, that when they left home, they would have an even more important family when their journey ended. Because in Acts 2, verses 36 through 41, we hear about them being baptized into the family of God, the greatest family on earth. You know, we all love our families. We're thankful to God for our families. But I really believe with all of my heart, brethren, the greatest family on this earth is the family of God. And the family of God tonight, just ask all of us a question. As parents, grandparents, children, young people, what kind of son and what kind of daughter am I to my Father in heaven? What kind of daughter am I to my Father in heaven? What kind of son am I to my Father in heaven? Do you need to make Him your Father in obedience? Being baptized in the water grave of baptism, raised that you can be raised to walk as a new creation, the old person of sin being washed away. Or maybe tonight you just look at your heart and you investigate your life. And you say, you know God the Father? I need to be a better child. I need a refocusing of my faith. I need a renewal of my Christian walk with You. If you have those needs, why not come to God the Father as together we stand and we sing?